I wasn't expecting getting emotional, but that's a great song, and it's a great reminder of where we are and what we look forward to. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I know some of you might be thinking, wow, Dr. Anderson got a little shorter and grew a beard in 1 week. Dr. Anderson is, he asked me to fill in for him this morning as he's had a very busy week of ministry. Last week, some of you were here yesterday as he officiated at Vernon's funeral, and he's going to be traveling to Greenville later this week, and he'll be involved in a service down there too. So he asked in the time being that I would fill in for him, and I was glad to accept the offer. And I do want to take a moment just to say thank you to Dr. Anderson for his ministry over the last few months. Chris and I were talking, it's been about a little over 6 months that he's been our interim pastor. I know he would probably bristle at that term. He would probably call himself the interim preacher, but he has pastored us in preaching the word faithfully. Just over the last couple weeks, he has officiated at 2 funerals and ministered to some of our families and walked them through the grief of loss, losing a loved one. And I know I speak for the other pastors. It's been an encouragement to have him in our staff meetings and have his wise counsel. So if you get an opportunity, make sure you say thank you to him. He has labored hard and worked well, and we have been blessed by his ministry. I'm going to go ahead and read our passage, and then we'll dive in. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. Hopefully you're there by now. We're going to look beginning in verse 7, where it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." I'm sure as I read that beginning phrase to our passage today, you may have thought in your heart, yes, I agree with Peter. The end of all things is at hand. You may have said a hearty amen in your heart. After surviving through 2020, many of us this morning feel like the end is nigh. 2020 was a very apocalyptic year. I don't know if you can rewind back to January of last year. It seems like it was an eternity ago, but do you remember the news that came out about the wildfires that broke out all across the globe? I'm a fan of Australia, having lived 8 years of my life down there, and there were great fires that were breaking out in Australia, and they were record-setting fires. They were so large that the smoke from Australia was floating across the ocean, and it was impacting the air quality in South America. And I remember seeing on the news footage of a farmer driving down a road, and there's fences on either side where there's dead carcasses of animals as far as the eye can see, where these animals were consumed in this great fire. California had some record-setting fires back in January, and even the Amazon jungle. Only in 2020 can a rainforest catch on fire, right? There was a worldwide pandemic, and we're still experiencing that with COVID-19, and many of us are still reeling from the changes that took place in our society, wearing masks and social distancing, and even this morning, not being able to meet all together as a congregation at once. It's apocalyptic. It's unprecedented in many of our lifetimes. Back in the summer, there were U.S. riots all across the country and even around the world. Riots that broke out after George Floyd's death. There was looting. There was mayhem. There was destruction. Entire city blocks were set ablaze. I'm sure you may agree, as I do with Peter, it seems like the end of all things is at hand. But I don't want to end there. Peter doesn't end there, praise the Lord. He says, therefore. I grew up as a senior in high school. I had Pastor Dave Berman as my youth pastor. And when he would study the Bible with us, he would say, anytime there's a therefore, you should ask yourself, what is it there for? And when Peter says therefore, he's linking that thought of the end of the world with what comes thereafter. I wonder, how might the average American finish that sentence? The end of the world is near, therefore. In my experience, I have seen people respond with the end of the world, the doom and gloom, the apocalypse, in two ways. They will either party or they'll prep. Back in 2012, some of you remember the news that went out about the Mayan calendar. On December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar supposedly was coming to an end. Archaeologists had discovered this calendar, and they had cracked the code, and they had figured out that it ended on December 21st, 2012. And many people were thinking that was going to be the end of the world. And I remember seeing advertisements for the end of the world parties. I saw a poster, and it had a Mayan ziggurat on it, and it was a nightclub, and they were advertising an end-of-the-world party. They had drink specials and food specials and entertainment. But that's how some people will respond when they believe the world is coming to an end. They'll party. They'll smoke it up. They'll drink it up. They'll live it up. Some people might respond by prepping, and we've seen some of that this last year, right? People going out and buying more than a lifetime supply of toilet paper or overbuying groceries. Maybe you've seen that show on cable TV called Preppers, and it follows people who think the end of the world is coming, there's going to be some kind of apocalypse, and so they stock up on ammunition and armory and weaponry, and they might build a fallout shelter, they might can food and prepare for the end of the world. But notice that Peter doesn't say either of those things. Peter tells us the end of things is at hand. We are an end times church. But what he tells us is we should be marked in these latter days by five different things. And so we're going to look at those this morning. Five marks of an end times church. First, Peter tells us we should be marked by serious entreaty. He says, therefore, verse 7, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of the world is here. It's coming. So Peter says, pray seriously. Be marked by serious entreaty. And that makes sense. When some people feel like the end is nigh, they pray. Some of you remember back on 9/11 2001 when the Twin Towers fell and the great terrorist attacks that occurred that day. There were impromptu prayer meetings that broke out all across the country. People just gathered in churches and they began to pray. Because it makes sense. When you feel like the end of the world is coming, you pray. And you pray seriously. And that's what Peter tells us. He uses the word here, the second word, describing word of prayers. He says, be watchful in your prayers. Some translations use the word temperate. Be temperate in your prayers. It almost literally means be without wine in your prayer. Now you might think that's kind of strange. Is Peter saying don't drink and pray? Like we say don't drink and drive? Well, it's the same word that the temperance movement used back in the Prohibition days to talk about their movement, their ideals. They wanted to live in a world without any wine. Temperance. It's not saying literally don't drink and pray. While it could be to mean to be free from the influence of intoxicants, metaphorically it means to have a clear head as you pray, to be serious, to be alert, to be watchful. Those who are under the influence of alcohol they're not alert. They're not serious. They're not watchful. But Peter tells us we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. We need to be serious in our prayers. When I was in seminary, our pastor, he took prayer seriously. He was a man of prayer. And even when we were going to have a prayer meeting, according to Pastor Smith, we were going to pray. It was going to be a prayer meeting. He didn't like how sometimes in prayer meetings we kind of tack the prayer on the end just a little bit. spend a little bit of time in prayer, but we spend a lot more time doing other things in a prayer meeting. He even arranged his sermon around prayer. So he would preach a point, and then he would have us gather in small groups and pray about that point. And then he'd call us back together, preach another point, and he'd pray about that point, and so forth, and so on. He was a man who was serious about prayer. I wonder, in these days, as we close out 2020 and we look ahead to the future in 2021, would you say that you are marked by serious entreaty? Would you say that First Baptist Church of Elyria is marked by serious entreaty? Peter says, be marked by serious entreaty. Secondly, he tells us we need to be marked by zealous charity. He says that in verse 8, and be, or above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Starting with this verse, Peter begins three one another commands. And I think it's appropriate for us to think about that, because in times like this, in times when we feel like the end of the world is coming, instead of thinking about one another, what do we want to think about? We want to think about ourselves. We want to circle the wagons, and we want to preserve our own lives. It's all about self-preservation. Sometimes when it comes to thinking about the end of the world, people think, well, every man for himself. But Peter doesn't say that. Peter tells us to focus not on ourselves, but on one another. I think in this day and age, the church needs to study the one another commands. They're all over the New Testament. And in this passage, we see three of them. And the first one, Peter says, above all, have fervent love for one another. We need to have charity. And when I use the word charity, I don't mean it in a modern-day sense of giving to the Salvation Army and that kind of thing, but I mean it in the sense of love. Peter tells us to have love, and the word that he uses is the word agape. There are many words in the Greek language that he could have used to command us to love one another, but he chose to use the word agape. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's the same word that John uses in John 3:16, for God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A self-sacrificing love. It's the same word used in John 13 where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you agape one another just as I have agaped you. That's the kind of love that Peter tells us to use amongst one another. A self-sacrificing love. And he qualifies it. He says it's not just any kind of love, because in our day and age, we might think, oh, okay, well, if that person scratches my back, then I'll scratch theirs. It might be, well, that person is not lovable, so I don't think I'll love them back. He uses a qualification. He says, have fervent love for one another. Even when we're sinned against, Peter says, we should love one another. Now remember, Peter is the one who said to Jesus, well, how often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Seven times, Lord? Peter is the one who's bringing this up, and he says, love one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Even when someone offends you, even when someone hurts you, even when someone spitefully uses you, love them in return. This verse, or this section of verse 8, is a quote from Proverbs. And I think it's interesting to look at the whole context of the verse. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. It's a quote. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. This last year, we saw a lot of people stirring up strife in our society. A lot of haters. A lot of people who were angry and out of hate and vengeance, they went about destroying property and looting and burning and committing all kinds of acts of violence. But Peter says that should not be so in the church. We should love one another. We should not stir up strife out of hatred. Regrettably, in the church, we see people stir up strife. Peter says, We should be marked by zealous charity. Not by zealous hatred, but zealous charity. I wonder, is First Baptist Church of Elyria marked by zealous charity? Thirdly, Peter tells us we should be marked by gregarious hospitality. He says in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The word hospitality is in the Greek is a compound word. It's two words in one. The first part of the word is phileo, where we get the word Philadelphia. It means brotherly love, as we know, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And the second part of the word means stranger or foreigner. So it means showing brotherly affection for someone who is not your brother. Peter tells us we need to be hospitable to one another. Whereas agape in the last verse is talking about an intangible form of love, a love that offers grace and mercy and forgiveness, which is very good, very important. This is a more tangible form of love where we show love to one another in a more tangible way. It's offering a warm greeting to one another. It might be offering a warm place to sit and to talk, offering a warm meal or a warm drink. I didn't see BJ and Shay this morning. They must be away on vacation, or maybe they're not feeling well. But I'm gonna brag on them a little bit. BJ and Shay exemplify hospitality. In a day and age that we're living in, we need more people who show hospitality in much the same way. They are intentional about remembering people's names, offering warm greetings to people, showing them a seat, showing them where the classrooms are, and just welcoming people. Peter tells us that's how we should live. That's how, in this day and age, we should be acting. We should be marked by gregarious hospitality. And he makes a qualification. He says in verse 9, be hospitable to one another, what? Without grumbling. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and my parents said, hey, we're going to have some people over, we're going to have company over, we need to be hospitable, what did you do? I know what I did. Oh, man. That means I got to clean my room. Oh, man, that means I got to entertain people. I can't do what I want to do. Peter tells us, be hospitable without grumbling, without complaining. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, how are we supposed to do that in this day and age? It's hard to give someone a warm greeting. No handshakes anymore, no high fives, no hugs. How can I be hospitable in this day and age? Well, you got to get creative. One thing that's been wonderful about 2020 is that we got creative when it came to COVID-19. Even today, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, and we've had to change some things. The elements are compacted into one little unit. We got creative about observing the Lord's Supper, and we've gotten creative about all kinds of other ways to minister. We've used the live stream a lot more. People have used Zoom and so forth. And you too can get creative with your hospitality. Use the phone. Call one another. Check up on one another. Write one another. Text. Use Zoom or FaceTime. I know for some that's difficult, but it's been a learning curve for many of us. One of the things that I've noticed just over the last few months is that the Jehovah's Witnesses have not been knocking on doors like they were. But they are sending letters. They are making phone calls. And I've been humbled by that, to be honest with you. We in this time should not be sitting back. We should not be hunkering down. We should not be afraid. We should be hospitable to one another. I wonder, is First Baptist Church of Elyria marked by gregarious hospitality? Peter tells us that in this day, we need to be marked by gregarious hospitality. And fourthly, he says we need to be marked by selfless ministry. He says in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Peter tells us that we have all received gifts, every one of us, whether it be a talent or whether it be a resource. And we should not keep those gifts to ourselves, but we should give them and offer them to one another. He uses a play on words here. It's interesting in the Greek. The word for gift is the word charisma in Greek, where we get the word charismatic. So he says in verse 10, as each one has received a charisma, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold charitas or charis of God. God has given us through his grace gifts. And Peter tells us that we need to use those gifts to minister to one another selflessly. What happens when we think that the end of the world is coming? What do we want to do with our gifts? What do we want to do with our resources? We want to hoard them. We want to keep them and save them for ourselves. Peter says that should not be so in the church. Whether they be talents or abilities or resources, all of us should be using our gifts for one another. I think he uses an interesting word here in verse 10. He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In some translations, it will use the word manager. Those of you who have been involved in retail, I know Pastor John has, and I did. I worked at Verizon Wireless before I came here. The worst thing that you can possibly hear when you're working in retail is what? Can I speak to the manager? You're God's manager. I remember when I was a kid, a few years ago, it seems like I was a kid. I worked at Verizon Wireless, and I was new at the job, and I was helping a customer get a phone, pick out a phone, and talking to him about the pricing and so forth, and I made a mistake. I stuck my foot in my mouth, and I told him that it would be this amount when it would really be this amount, and I was a couple $100 off in my estimation. So I went to the manager, and I said, hey, man, I did it this time. I made a mistake. And I told him it was going to be this amount. It's really going to be this amount. Can you help me out? And the manager said, yeah, I'll cut you some slack. And he made it work for the customer. The manager is just the manager. He has to give an account for what he's doing with the resources. He's not supposed to hoard all the resources, right? In that situation, he knew he needed to make the customer happy. He needed to use the resources he had available to him to help the customer, to make him happy. We too cannot hoard the things that God has given us. We need to use it to glorify God, to serve others. You're God's manager. Not meaning that you manage God, but you manage the resources that he has given you. So don't keep it to yourself. Use it to serve one another. Be selfless in your ministry. I know in COVID-19, for many of you, it's been hard. You haven't been able to be involved in ministries like you were able to. And I understand that. I'm not railing on you, but I would encourage you, don't, when this is all said and done, when we get back to normal, don't get comfortable not serving. Be involved in selfless ministry. Finally, Peter tells us that we should be marked by limitless doxology. He says, if anyone speaks, in verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Don't limit your praise to God. Don't allow COVID to stop you from worshiping him. Many Christians allow things to limit their worship to God. For a long time, I lived my life where I limited my worship to God to Sunday a.m. And I think many Christians do that. They compartmentalize their lives and they say, okay, this time is for worship, Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week is for work and pleasure and play and all that other stuff. But that's not what the Bible tells us. We should worship God in all things, Peter says. Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Let your life be a praise song to God. Be involved in limitless doxology. We are living in unprecedented times. We are living in what seems apocalyptic times. And I've walked through this last year, I've thought to myself several times, I've kind of been paralyzed. Like, what am I supposed to do? What should I be doing? How should I be living? Peter tells us that in these days we should be marked by serious entreaty, zealous charity, gregarious hospitality, selfless ministry, and limitless doxology. So let me ask, is First Baptist Church of Elyria, is it marked by those things? If not, what are we going to do about that as individuals, as members of this church? Corporately, it may be true or not true, but individually, let me ask you, what are you doing in these days? Are you hunkering down in fear? Are you prepping? Are you partying? Or are you being marked by these kinds of things? May it be true of us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it encourages us and it gives us instruction on how we are to live in these days. And so we pray that you will help our church be marked by these things. And now as we think about what you've done on the cross and we embark on a new year, may we live in light of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.